I'm ready for rotting. You wanna be Hi and hello, welcome to another episode of Sleepaway Shorts. I'm your host, Sheehan. Before we get cracking on Auburn wide receiver Seth Williams, don't forget to subscribe to Sleepaway on your favourite podcast platforms so you never miss an episode. And head over to Twitter and follow us at Sleepaway Show. Start making some room in your trophy cabinet for your next fantasy football trophy. Now, Seth Williams stands 6'3", he's 220 pounds, and like most guys in the NFL, excelled in multiple sports in high school, dominating not only the football field, but the basketball court, and in the long and high jump as well. Although he lived a short drive from Bryant-Denny Stadium, he decided he'd rather lose Iron Bowls with Auburn than win national championships with Bama, and turned in some eye-catching performances as a true freshman. But it's his sophomore season where he truly broke out with 59 catches, 830 yards and 8 touchdowns, which included a 7-touchdown stretch in 5 games. And coming into the season, he was one of the most talked about receiver prospects, but he was solid if unspectacular as a junior. Inconsistent quarterback play from Bo Nix hampered his production, yet he still managed to catch 47 balls for 760 yards and 4 touchdowns. His highlights of the season came with a 6 for 112 and 2 against Kentucky in week 1, and in the middle of the season, 8 for 150 and 1 against Ole Miss. So what does he do well? Well, as you might expect from a guy his height with his basketball background, he's quite a weapon in the red zone. His basketball background shows up with his ability to high point the ball, and I saw him moss people multiple times on tape. He's got good hands away from his body and a huge catch radius, often turning 50-50 situations strongly in his favour. He has really good body control to contort himself into the best positions to allow him to make a play on the ball, and I think this is part of his skill as a red zone weapon. It's hard to take down after the catch, as you'd expect for a guy his size. He's not going to be a yak beast like AJ Brown, but he's better after the catch than most of the big red zone guys running around these days. He can look a little bit lost on the field at times, and his first few steps can lead to him losing yards from the point of catch, so he needs to do some work there. Where else does he need to improve? Well, his route running needs a lot of work. He ran a fairly limited tree at Auburn, struggles to change direction, which means his cut and hitches aren't sharp enough. A couple of times, lazy hitches allowed corners to make a play on the ball, and the college corners let him get away with it, but NFL corners certainly won't. He's a bit of an inefficient mover as well. At times I was crying out for him to stick his foot in the ground, lower his hips and explode in a different direction. But instead, there's a bit of a Fred Flintstone-esque twinkle toes when he's trying to cut or hitch or even just throw his man off. He doesn't release well and struggles against press coverage. He can't get away off the line. He does have decent speed for a guy his size, but he's not going to blow you away with an explosive release. He doesn't do a lot to wrong foot the corner. There's a lot of foot movement again, but nothing to actually get any separation. Again, I saw the Fred Flintstone twinkle toes off the line, but it didn't really do the job to gain any ground on the corner. And obviously playing receiver at the highest level requires some degree of a sleight of hand or sleight of foot, as it were, but he was unable to use any sort of guile to get open, really just the Fred Flintstone twinkle toes. And for a guy his size, I thought he got buffeted and knocked off his routes far too often by smaller corners. But in saying that, he's quite physical at the point of catch once he has the ball. But I thought he was a little bit limited in the blocking game as well. So maybe some of those physical elements could be a bigger part of what he does. He was a little bit timid between the hash marks or with a man bearing down on him. Personally, I don't blame him for that. I couldn't be paid enough to go over the middle in an NFL game and have a safety iron me out. But he did tend to body catch anything below his shoulders and at times even jumped up to make body catches with someone right in his hammer. Despite having exceptional hands above his shoulders, anything below his eye line is almost a 50-50 proposition. I did see him take some nice low hand catches, but this will need to be drummed into him in training camp, which makes me think might just be bad habits as opposed to poor technique. Quite concerning, though, he looked to take plays off or switch off when he thought he wasn't directly involved in the play. Sometimes you saw this in his blocking efforts, but it was most noticeable early in the 2019 Iron Bowl. He was jogging with his back to the quarterback, assuming the play was over, What had actually happened is Nix had gone through his reads and Williams was the only open receiver. Nix was about to throw it to him when Williams realised this. He was absolutely wide open. It was a bit of a poor throw, but Williams wasn't in any position to make a play on the ball anyway. As I say, it wasn't an isolated incident and certainly give me pause as an NFL GM. If you can switch off like that in, I suppose, the biggest game of the season, then you know, where's your head at the rest of the time? So what does that mean for Seth Williams as an NFL prospect? To be honest, his lack of ability to separate genuinely concerns me. Over the last couple of years, we've seen these contested catch monsters come into the NFL struggle if they can't get open. Now, I don't think he's as dire as Hakeem Butler or J.J. Aw or even N'Keal Harry, but it's enough to give me pause and maybe someone I might pass over in my dynasty drafts. In saying that, he's as good in the red zone as any receiver in this class, and I think if he can refine his route running and maybe get some guile into his game, he could grow into a decent X receiver in the pros. He reminds me at his peak of a bit of a poor man's Alshon Jeffrey, but close to the mark might be Preston Williams from Miami. I think he's going to be a similar player no matter where he lands, as he's fairly one-dimensional, so I don't think landing spot's that important. Obviously, if he goes to a team where they're already set for red zone weapons or with a strong X receiver, you don't want him buried on the depth chart, but I think most teams are going to find a use for him if they're taking him off the board. I think he's likely to go day two, day three in the NFL draft. Personally, for fantasy, I wouldn't be drafting him any earlier than the 2-3 turn in your PPR leagues, maybe a little bit later in Superflex. But if you want to go with upside and you're on the clock in the late second, you could do worse than Williams. I think there will be some other guys around, maybe like an Elijah Moore or a Tutu Atwell, who have a little bit more upside, but obviously Seth Williams fits the prototypical look of an ex-receiver, and he does have, as I say, exceptional hands above his shoulders. So that's it for this episode. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at SheehanSolo for fantasy football musings, rookie and dynasty talk, bad jokes, occasional trivia questions, and a lot of complaining about the umpiring in Australian cricket. As I said off the top, don't forget to like and subscribe to Sleeperwire so you never miss an episode. Follow at Sleeperwire Show on Twitter to get all the great content from the fine guys and girls at Sleeperwire. And we're on Patreon as well if you want to chuck in a buck. So until next time, stay safe, wear your mask, and football on.